Good morning. All right, so good to see so many of you here this morning. Good to be in the house of the Lord. If you have your Bibles this morning again, we began last week a short study on the coming of the Lord for His saints. And we used as our scripture in the 24th chapter of Matthew and the 36th verse. We'll be using a lot more scriptures this morning. You have your Bibles if you want to verify what I'm saying is there. Turn to them as I ask you to. See what thus saith the Lord. Just before we open His Word this morning, let's look to Him in a word of prayer. Thank you, Father, for the opportunity again this morning to be here. Indeed, we can say that You are a faithful Father. You loved us and given us this day. We pray that we may use this day to honor and to glorify Your name. Thank You for each one that's here in this service this morning. As we open Your Word, Father, speak to us and through us, we pray. May our eyes be open, our hearts be challenged, and we be encouraged from Your Word today. And You shall receive the praise, the honor, and glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The verse of scripture that we used last week, the 24th chapter of Matthew, 36th verse, says, "But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father also." Now, for those of you that were here last week, we suggested several things, and I see many here today that weren't here last week, and I just will go over it briefly, very briefly, because the clock is galloping whenever you stand up, and 30 minutes or so, it soon flies by. Just very briefly at what we looked at. We are looking at the fact of the coming of the Lord for His saints. We call it the rapture. We said that we know the word rapture is not in the Bible, but there are references made to the coming of the Lord, to the taking of the away of the saints, and thus we use the word rapture. Last week, we suggested several things, but there were 10 things that I gave, and I noticed some of you were taking notes. There were 10 things that I gave, 10 reasons why it is so practical, and it should be very practical, and it in the lives of you and I as believers, the implications of the significance of it is so important that we believe in the coming of the Lord. We suggested that there is much controversy about it. There are those who have said that I heard it since I was a little kid. It hasn't happened yet. There are those that have said it's been supposed to have taken place 2,000 years ago. It hasn't happened yet. Beloved, don't live your life in that mode. Live your life in the mode that it could happen at any time. It could happen at any time. And the practical reasons I gave was this, and I'll go over them very briefly. Number one was, it should have a purifying influence on our lives, as believers. It should keep us pure, expecting, looking for that moment in time. Number two, it should burden us to pray and work for the salvation of those that are lost. It should burden our heart. That should be something on our minds every day. That should be something that we should pray about every day. For those that are lost, those that are unsaved, still yet going out into eternity, that should Christ return, they're going to be left behind. And the implications of it, of being left behind, is awful. I think we've come to the point in our lives where we take it so casually. We don't think about it as much as we should. It's just a fleeting moment, a fleeting thought. Beloved, it's not a fleeting thought. One of these days, and I can't emphasize it enough, the seriousness of it, one of these days, it is going to be a reality. And if you're not ready, you're going to be left behind. It's a simple fact, and I can't say it any plainer than that. It's going to happen. And don't sit or fool ourselves or kid ourselves by the fact that we're going to have a little bit of warning. We get some warning. We get it now. We get in it now. We get it every day that we live. But then it's going to that. Finished. Over. That's how important it is. That's how serious we should take it. And if we have loved ones that aren't ready, oh, beloved. Beloved, we should be much in prayer for them. It should burden us to pray and work for the salvation of the lost. It should encourage us to persevere in spite of persecution and trial. Not to give up so easily when things beset us, when tests come our way. Always remember, it could be today. It could be today. Then it should reduce the value or the importance of our material possessions. And we all know what I mean. We get so involved in the material things of life. These are important. This is important. That is important. Not so important, my friend, when it comes to the coming of the Lord. That's more important, to know Him and to be ready to go. Because it doesn't matter what you have. It doesn't matter what I have. It's going to all be left behind. In a moment, everything that we have gathered, everything that we have worked for, whatever it may be, going to be gone just like that in a moment when He comes. Mind that could happen individually, as we've seen this past week so sadly. Individually, it could happen to one of us, some of us even today. But we're thinking about the coming of the Lord, where it's going to be a gathering of all of His people, so that you could reduce the value of the importance of the material things of life. It should also inspire us to diligent service for the Lord. It should make us bold to confess Christ to others. It should keep us in the attitude of expectancy, always, every day, expecting. It should be a comforting hope. I know it is to me, and I trust it is to you. A comforting hope that, hey, He's coming. One day we're going to be out of this miserable mess that we're in that's called a world. Life is so difficult in so many ways, even for God's people. It's going to all be over. It should be a comforting hope. It should be a reminder that one day there's going to be a review and a reward of our lives that we live down here for Him. And then finally, I suggested it should encourage an other world attitude. The Bible says this world is not our home. The songwriter says we're only passing through. We're only passing through. We're pilgrims on a journey. We're passing through. And praise God, one day that journey is going to be over. And the question this morning to all of us, are we ready? Are we ready to go? Are we looking forward to that day? Do we believe? Do we believe that it's going to happen? How much do we think about it? That's why I feel led to talk about this. And you know the strange thing, and I say strange, and I shouldn't say that. I know it's a leading of the Spirit since I've been here. On Sunday night past, Brother Gordon said he didn't know what I was speaking on. He was led to open the services with hymns about the coming of the Lord. On Thursday night, Brother Morris was not here. And Brother Morris, and basically in the services on Thursday night, all of his thoughts and the songs, the choruses we sang, were based around the coming of the Lord. So that encouraged my heart. Made me feel that it is indeed the Spirit of God that has directed me to these thoughts while I'm here. To see that how this has been picked up by others that were not even aware of my thoughts, of what had been given to me. This morning, we want to look at several thoughts in connection with the return of Christ. The first thought is centered on a direct promise by Jesus Himself. In John chapter 14, and all of us should know that, should be familiar with that passage of Scripture. In John chapter 14, the Lord Jesus, speaking to His disciples, whose hearts He knew were troubled, because He had just given them some bad news. He had just told them about Judas. He had just told Peter that He was going to deny Him. He was on His way to the cross. He had given them news that they hadn't heard before. Their hearts were troubled, just like our hearts are troubled today in many cases. Things that are happening in our lives. And He looked at those disciples with the troubled hearts and He said, "Let not your heart be troubled." And we say that this morning if you're here. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, He says, believe also in Me. In My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, then I would have told you. I would have told you. He said, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you. Now here's what he said. Nobody else said these words. Jesus himself. And we have to believe it. If we're going to believe other passages of Scripture, what Jesus said, we have to believe this. He said, I will come again. That's a guarantee. I will come again. It's a direct promise from Him. I mean, we can't get it from anybody else. More direct and more sure and more one that we can depend on than the words of the mouth of Jesus Christ Himself. He says, I'm coming. Now it's up to us to believe. It's up to us to prepare for it. It's up to us to think about it. Be ready for that coming. He said, I'm going to go and prepare a place for you, and I'm going to come again and receive you unto myself. We also find others have written about it in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 37. Hebrews 10 and verse 37. We see the writer to the Hebrews as he's talking to the people of God in the verses just preceding this. And then he reaches this point in this passage of Scripture. And he says, for yet a little while. Now notice he didn't put a time frame in 24 hours, in 30 years, in 1500 years. There's no time frame attached to it. And I think this is where we get carried away. We need a time frame. We're used to living life by time, a 24-hour day time, a time schedule, time for this, time for that. With God, the Scripture says, one day is as 1,000 years, 1,000 years is as a day. Time means nothing with God. Nothing like you and I. But there has been set a time, you can guarantee that, in the annals of heaven, in God's heaven. God has already set that moment in time when He's going to send Jesus Christ for His church. And the writer here says, for yet a little while. Now this was written in way back in the days of Paul. For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come. Notice the emphasis on come. He that shall come will come. No hips, no hands, no butts, but shall come, will come, and then he finishes it off with this thought, and he will not tarry. In other words, nothing, but nothing is going to stop him from coming. Nothing. Doesn't matter what we think. Doesn't matter what men may say. Doesn't matter what men may write in books. What matters is when that moment in time comes when God says, go and get my people. Bring my people. And he's going to make that shout in the air. He that shall come will come and will not tarry. Turn to Luke chapter 18, verse 8. Luke 18. Verse 8. And what do we see there? Again, the words of the Lord Jesus. That I tell you that he will vindicate them at once. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, again, Jesus himself emphasizing the fact that he himself is coming. When the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth. And then in the book of Revelation, as revealed to John the Beloved, in Revelation the 22nd chapter, we see these words. Verse 6. He said unto me, these sayings are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angels to show unto his servants the things which must shortly be done. Now that was a couple thousand years ago. He said, which must shortly be done. And these are the things that inspire my heart. These are the things, the words that challenge me each day that I live as I read them. Things that must shortly be done. Beloved, we are a lot closer to his return than we want to think or believe. Verse 7 says, behold, I come quickly. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the message of this book. And then down in verse 12, again, almost a similar repeat of the words in 7, and behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be. And then over in verse 20 of that same chapter, he finishes it off with saying, he which says these things says, surely I come quickly. What more do we need this morning to challenge our hearts to the fact that Jesus is coming? Jesus is coming. Words from him himself. The time is at hand. John writes, these sayings are faithful and true. Beloved, that's his promise. He has never failed in that promise. You and I, we accept promises of men in life and we bank on it many times. But what happens? They let us down. They fail us. Jesus has promised he's coming for us. Thank God, one day it's going to be a reality. One day it's going to be a reality. One day we're going to be ushered into his presence with all of his saints. What a glorious day it's going to be. Secondly, second thought, it's going to be a personal appearance. It's going to be very personal. I'm glad of that. I was thinking even yesterday and early this morning as I got up to go back over this again, I'm glad he's not going to send Peter for me. Peter might end up going fishing somewhere. We touched on this on Tuesday night. He's not going to send anybody else, thank God. He's going to come for you and I personally. We just can't begin to imagine that. Jesus Christ, the one that we've talked about, the one that we've heard of so long, the one that we've said we've loved, and then instantly, we're going to be standing in his presence. Oh, beloved. That should cheer our hearts this morning. If you came here this morning discouraged, if you came here burdened, if you came here with a heart filled with pain, let that encourage your heart today as a child of God. One day we're going to look in his face. His face, the face of Jesus Christ. Turn with me to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. In beginning at verse 9, and this is when Jesus was being taken away. And when he had spoken these things, Jesus, while they beheld the disciples and those that were gathered there with him, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into the heaven? This same Jesus. Emphasized. This same Jesus. No substitute. No substitute. No angel Gabriel. No Moses or Elijah. This same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven shall so come how? In like manner as ye have seen him go. How did he go? He went up. He's coming down. He went up. A cloud received him out of their sight. Back to the Father. He's coming just like that. He's going to make his appearance. And you and I who know him will see him. He's coming back. It's going to be personal, reassured by these angels from above. Now turn again for another further assurance of this in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. If your Bible's like mine, it's old and worn and takes some time to get the pages turned. But 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and this is used quite frequently, particularly at funeral services, many times. But notice what the apostle writes here in the 16th verse. Again, reassuring our hearts. Who's coming? For the Lord Himself. Double confirmation. The Lord Himself shall descend from heaven. Beloved, how can we say it's not going to be real? How can we say He's not coming? When we have these words of assurance from angels above, from men directed by the Holy Spirit of God to write these words, they wouldn't be here if they weren't inspired by God. These are words that are inspired by the Spirit of God. And so the apostle could write this, the Lord Himself. So we have that assurance. He's coming, and it's going to be personal because He's coming Himself. Then thirdly, the method of His return. The method, what's going to be the method of His return? It'll be in the air. That's for sure. He's going to come. He's going to be in the air. And not every eye will see Him. A scripture says in Matthew 24 that every eye will see Him, but they're not talking about the return of the Lord for His saints. They're talking about the return of the Lord with His saints, which we will look at, Lord willing, next week. But we're talking about now the coming of the Lord for His saints. And not every eye will see Him. He's going to come in the air. And you know something? It's going to be a loud return. It'll be a loud return. Let's read some more in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, 17. Oh, sorry, I'll read 16 for a connection here. For the Lord Himself, we looked at that, shall descend from heaven with what? A shout. Now He's going to be taking people from the four corners of the earth, all over this world. I know He could whisper and we'll still hear it, but He's going to give a shout, the scripture says, with the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. The method of His return will be in the air. It's going to be a loud return. Three sounds will be heard. First of all, there's going to be a shout of command by Jesus. And I've often wondered, as I've studied this and I've read through it, I wonder what those words are going to be. In many of the books that I've studied, there are those that suggest that perhaps it would be the same words or in similarity to the words that were used at the gravesite of Lazarus, as He said, Lazarus, come forth. But instead of saying Lazarus this time, He's going to say, children, come on. We're going to hear it. Isn't that amazing? We're going to hear it. Doesn't matter where we are. Doesn't matter whether we've gone and been placed into the grave or lost at sea, God forbid, or in an airplane, whatever it might be. If we're His child, we're going to hear that shout. Come home, my child. And then there's going to be the sound of a trumpet. And the voice of an archangel. The command that Jesus will give will be, come home, my child. The trumpet sound, we believe, is in keeping with the trumpets that are familiar in the Old Testament. The trumpets were used by Israel, as we're aware of in many instances. Remember the fall of Jericho. The trumpets were used. The trumpets were used to announce special occasions in the Roman Empire. If you've studied any of that, we're aware of it. It was used to announce the arrival of great persons, persons of character, persons in preeminence. Shouldn't it then be used to announce the arrival of Jesus Christ, who is above all? King of kings and Lord of lords. We have a little sign many times on the remembrance table that says, we give him the preeminence. Preeminence. He is above all. Shouldn't he get the acclamation? Shouldn't he get the sound of the trumpets? Yes. And you and I are going to hear that sound. We're going to hear the sound. The voice of the archangel, we believe that Michael, because he's the only archangel named in the Bible, and we read this in Daniel chapter 10 and in Jude chapter 9. Michael is mentioned. We believe that the angels are going to be involved. I believe that when Jesus comes for his church, he's going to bring the angels with him to see his people, the ones that he died for, the ones that they are quite aware of. The voice of the archangel, the angelic host will be there as well. But in the midst of my exuberance this morning, in the midst of my joy, I must insert something else in this. It is going to be silent for those who are not ready. Now we say, how can it be so loud? How can it be heard all over the world? And yet so silent. It's going to depend on our hearts and lives if we're ready to meet him or not. We're going to hear that voice. We're going to hear the trumpets. We're going to hear the archangel. But those that are not ready to meet him will not hear one sound. Not a sound. And we're reminded of this if you go back to the 24th chapter of Matthew. Now I realize that this, and I say it again, just so that we don't misunderstand where I'm coming from. This is in reference to his coming with the saints. But it can also be applied, and many believe that it's an application that can be used for the return of the Lord. In verse 38 through 41, and we find this in Mark and Luke as well, it says, as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark, and they did not realize until the flood came and took them all away. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Then shall two be in the field. One shall be taken, the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill. One shall be taken, the other left. Beloved, it's going to be a serious time, and it requires serious thought. These words aren't here just for us to read, just for me to stand up, for you to talk about. No, they're here for a purpose. They're here to warn us, to get us ready, to get us thinking. Put our minds into motion on the heavenly way. Get off the earthly path, because it's of no value. Thinking the heavenly way is going to be a reality. And if we're not ready, we're not going to hear the sound. We're going to be left behind. And we can probably emphasize it very strongly this morning. But there are going to be those that are going to be sleeping in bed with their spouses. You're going to open your eyes, and one's going to be gone. The other left. Your children's going to be in another room. You're going to walk in there. That room's going to be empty. If they're not up to the age of responsibility, we don't know what that age is. It's going to be empty. You're going to be off in the boat Perhaps one of them will be a believer and the other not. You're not going to see that believer again. And as I study about this, the consequences of it, the world will never have ever experienced such an event like this in all of history. Now, I know they're preparing for it. They're preparing. As a matter of fact, I turned on the television this morning and they were saying that they have pictures of some little men in Florida somewhere. That's fine. They can say what they like. I don't know what their excuse is going to be about all of these people that's going to be missing out of the world. I don't know what they're going to tell the people. Probably they're going to say, well, we told you so. We've seen these things circling and you won't believe us. They've finally come and they've taken these people away. But then why? How come it's all believers and nobody else? Beloved, it's very serious. It's very thought-provoking because it's going to happen. And oh, I pray to God today as I stand before you that not one of you will be unprepared for that day. I pray to God that you may think about this very seriously today. Very seriously. That it could happen at any moment. And the awfulness, we don't know. We don't know how awful that will be. But the awfulness to wake up some morning and find that our parents are gone, or that one of our spouses are gone, or our children are gone. No wonder there's going to be weeping and wailing. Oh, beloved, I beg of you this morning, not for my sake, but for your sake. Be ready to meet God. Be ready, listening for that moment in time when that sound will be made, when millions of people will vanish instantly. I mean, our little minds can't begin to comprehend what that's going to be like. When in a moment, this world will be changed forever. Instantly. People vanishing, never to be found, never ever seen again. The result of his return, fourthly, there's going to be two happenings. The dead in Christ will rise first, the scripture says. It's going to be wonderful. I think of that quite often. We have loved ones that have already gone. Mothers, fathers, sisters, brothers, daughters, sons. They've gone. They've gone to be with the Lord. And how wonderful it's going to be. They're going to rise first. Come up wherever they are. And then we that are alive and remain will be caught up together with them. Oh, I can't. My heart just fills with joy. We just can't begin to imagine what the moment that will be when with our loved ones together will be forever. That's why I emphasized this morning as I started the importance of you and I being vigilant in our service for the Lord, praying for those that are lost. There are lost people right here in Spanish Wales. There's lost people in Abaco. There's lost people all over the world. We need to pray. Oh, we don't know the awesomeness of what this is going to be like. Again, I will emphasize, yes, we're going to go individually until that time comes, but then it's going to be collectively. And it's going to be awesome. The dead in Christ will rise first to be reunited with the Spirit that presently lives with the Lord. If you notice up in verse 14 of this same chapter, it says, "For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which die in Jesus will God bring with him." The Apostle Paul writes that when a child of God dies, we're absent from the body and we're present with the Lord. So that again encourages our heart. He's going to bring those that have died with him to be reunited with the body, and not this body that we have now. Not this body that is racked with cancer and all sorts of sicknesses of life, no. We're going to be changed. We're going to be changed from mortal to immortal. We're going to have a body. We're going to have a new body. Thank God. A body that will never die. a body that will never feel pain, where no tears will dim the eye, and when we see our loved ones, there will be no remembrance of the past. You don't read this in the scriptures per se, that we will know them on such a personal basis, but I believe that we will. I believe that we will. There's a verse of scripture here that we use to justify this. For we shall know, or we will be known as we are known. But, and perhaps that means that, but I don't think so. He's referring to something else. But I believe with all my heart that we're going to know each other. Remember on the Mount of Transfiguration when the disciples looked? Who did they see? They saw Moses and Elijah. They recognized them. And I believe that you and I will do the same thing. We're going to recognize each other. And believe me, beloved, and I trust that you agree with me this morning, I don't want to remember anything about this past. I don't want to carry any of this baggage with me where I'm going. No, I've had enough. Been through enough. Don't know how much more we'll go through. But we want to leave it all behind. Looking for better things. Looking for better things. The inheritance. The things that God has prepared for those that love Him. So it's the dead in Christ will rise first. We are alive and remain. We're going to hear those sounds and we're going to be changed. And together we will meet the Lord in the air with our loved ones. What a day of rejoicing that will be. And then 1 Thessalonians 4:17 says, we shall ever be with the Lord forever. Never again to leave His side. How marvelous, how wonderful to be with Jesus, the one who loved us, the one who was willing to come to this sin-cursed world, willing to pay the ultimate price, make the ultimate sacrifice, die such a horrible death on a cross, a gibbet of shame, shed His blood, bear our sins upon Him in those dark hours when the world was darkened and God placed my sins and yours upon Him. He loved us so much. We got to live with Him throughout the countless ages of eternity. Oh, my friends, I wouldn't change those beloved thoughts and those hopes that I have for anything in this world. You can bring me anything you want today, and I wouldn't change my mind of the thoughts that I have, of the hope that I have, of seeing Jesus Christ and living with Him forever. It's going to be a wonderful day. Now I'm going to challenge your hearts this morning as I close. Are you ready for that day? Are we ready? Do we live expecting it to happen? That's the important part. And I said last week, and I'll say again in closing, I believe that every moment, every morning that you and I open our eyes, and we're still alive, and we're still here, we should say, Lord, it could be today, and remember those that are lost. Oh, if only we would do that. Lord, it could be today. And as I close, I want to tell you this. It could be today. It could be today. At some time throughout this day, you and I could be ushered into eternity collectively. And what a day that will be. The hymn writer says, what a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. When I look in His face, the one who saved me by His grace. What a day. Glorious day that will be. I beg of you this morning, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, find Him, accept Him today so that you too will be a part of that glorious, momentous occasion in time. Father, what wonderful thoughts this morning. May our hearts have been challenged and refreshed, lifted up, O God, as we've allowed You to speak to us from Your Word and assure our hearts that You're coming back. It's going to be a momentous occasion when together we shall meet You in the air and forever be with our Lord. Oh God, we love You. We thank You this morning. And we pray for those that are still yet lost. Speak to hearts and lives, we pray, even today, O God. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. God bless you. Thank you for your attention this morning.